Our pastor, Pastor James Mandel.
Let's give the Lord a hand of praise for a wonderful woman. You know, she planned that all on her own. She did a great job. So I just want to give her credit where credit is due, honor where honor is due, and love where honor is loved. Amen? Let's give another hand of praise for Shelley. We do have to look at an investment. You know, we're investing in all of our lives. The greatest blessing and investment that I received when I saw my brother over here walk through the door. Stand up. Let's give him a hand of praise. I know this man. And I'm seeing the great works that God is doing through his life. Listen, life is hard. How many would agree with us? It's like we're living in a bowl of crap. And we got to swim in it. We got to live in it. We got to swim in it. And it's like nasty. It stinks. And it's horrible, but we're all dealing with it. And to be able to lift someone out of the crap and be able to exalt them and give them honor and praise and glory is probably one of the greatest gifts that we can give one another. You know, because we're all fighting a bowl of crap. We all got to get out of the pit. And we fight this pit every day. I want to give honor to Mary Beth because of all her wonderful works that she does. If you look around, the ambiance and the highlight of just this ministry to give it the look the way it looks. You know, let's give the Lord a hand of praise for her. We don't realize a lot of things and we take life for granted and we just don't see what others do for each other in each and every one of our lives. And like Shelley said, the greatest blessing that I can receive from us, an investment that I can receive from all of us here, is our testimony. And when I can see the testimonies of how people's lives are being changed over the message and all, it just is an inheritance in my life. It's like my treasures and rewards and things of that nature. And I hope you also feel the same way with your life and how people and things are being sowed into your own life. And we're walking around with inheritances and blessings and we don't even really realize it because things are happening around us and we're so bogged down that we don't take that moment to smell the coffee, so to say. But I just want to give one more hand of praise for each other here in this place. Amen? Amen. You know, the Lord has been speaking to me very heavily. And I have a couple of things going on. But there's a lot of pressure on my shoulders. And the Lord began to start telling me that he would relieve the pressures if we fully walk in the call or the will of God. And I submitted to my heart just really this morning. And I said, yes, Lord, I will not be a part. I will support, but not try to be a part. And I will make this ministry, this call, 100% devoted into my heart, into my life. How many understand the pressures of the world? Okay. And a lot of times, you know, we should live our lives through faith. And faith is very tough. Come on, let's be real. To try to walk in something of a hope, of a vision, and not really see any tangible things, it's difficult. And I know that God has called me fully to this ministry. But then you got pressures on your shoulders and you feel like you got to like establish other things to get generate other stuff going on, you know, and yada, yada, yada. And some of you know that I have some, you know, this gentleman in my life, Ron's, who has this B and he's starting a business and all, and I'm putting myself into it, you know, and other things. And but then the Lord began to say to me that I want you fully committed here. That's not you. You support him. That's his. That's not you. You're here. And I receive that. And it's because of I see you here every week, which gives me the strength, which gives me the ability to stand and be into that throne room every day to hear the rhema word coming straight from heaven. How many of us really want to hear from God? We want to know what God is saying to his people. We want to know what God is saying to us. And I understand that I'm his voice to you. And to be able to hear him and know what he is doing and what knows what he wants in this hour is very, very difficult when you have the world around you and you're sitting in a pile of bowl of crap. How many would agree with that one? When you're sitting in this bowl of crap, the only thing that you're concerned about is getting out of it. That's the only thing that you're listening and finding and trying to figure out is how to get out of the crap. Well, the Lord is saying, I'm going to pull us all out of the crap, and all we need to do is focus really on him. Cast all your cares upon him, you know, and he'll give us that rest. And so I hope I can be an example and an encouragement for all of us here. And to be able to set that, forerunning position, you know, where you tread out the corn, you chop down the trees and make the first trail, you know, and it's easier for others to follow because you've whacked all the trees down and all the bushes down. So as I began to ask the Lord, all right, then, where do we go from here? And then he started begin to bring a revelation that he says, my people don't really understand why are we preaching what we're preaching. They don't quite grab hold of the necessary reasons to have a pastor or a minister to bring a message. What is the importance of the kingdom of God? Why do we need it? Why do we need to understand it? And his word speaks about my children suffer because of lack of knowledge. How many have heard that? And it also speaks about, you know, there would be no need for a preacher if there was no need to understand, you know, the spiritual things. How many have heard that scripture before? Like, and it gave the reason why there's to be a preacher or a pastor. So then I began to dig in and say, okay, Lord, begin to, he says, you need to start telling the people why you're here. What is the reason? Well, he began to start showing me that he has given us a life. And we don't have a life. And how do we find this life? Where is it? What is it all about? And then one of the things that he began to share with me was when your car breaks down, where do you go to? You go to a mechanic, right? You have a plumber, a plumbing issue. What do? You call a plumber. You bring in specialists to come and handle your problems and your issues. If you're sick, where do you go? You go to the doctor, right? Well, then he began to start saying, well, you know what? You're the spiritual doctor. You're the one that has the spiritual healing, the spiritual knowledge to bring healing and to begin to set the people free and bring wellness to the spirit. There's all kinds of specialists out there. And he began to say, well, you're the spiritual doctor. And so I said, okay, I'm the spiritual doctor. Because with if you're, you know, depressed and you're confused, lost, and you're not sure of what's going on in your life, where do you reach out to? What do you look for? You look for a doctor. You look for someone that can bring healing to you. Physical healing is different than spiritual healing. How many people understand that one? Why do I do the things that I keep doing and I just don't want to do them? Why am I at the point of being worried and why am I fearing and why am I causing all these pains inside of myself and I don't understand? Why are these things happening? Why are these things coming upon me? You know, why are the pressures on me? Wouldn't you want to know why pressure's on you? Why do you have it so hard or why do you have it so difficult? Wouldn't you want to know that? Well, there's always an answer to your why. There's not one question that isn't unanswered. Not one. And I believe God has given me the answers to your questions, to your spiritual questions, to your uncertainties. And I hope that we open up our ears today and begin to start hearing, because why is one of the questions. Why do we need the kingdom of God? Why do we need, when we have supposedly a life, why are we searching and seeking out another life? Well, for one, we don't have a life. Think about it. Can you actually really say you got a life? Or how do you view life? Waking up every day, doing the job, dealing, coping, learning how to cope, learning how to deal, try to have a family, you know, support one another, do some good works or what have you. Is that really a life? I believe the reason why we bring a message across like this, the kingdom of God, is to find out our purpose, to find out what the will of God is. You know, I just want to be in His will. I just want to do God's will. When people come and, you know, they begin to realize that they need something more, they need spiritual health, they feel sick and tired of being sick and tired, and they really want answers, what am I supposed to do? Because the reality of it is, we're all lost. We're all dead. Think about it. We're all confused. Some people might think, I got my act together. I got my act together. I got goals and I got my act together and I'm doing pretty good and I'm feeling good about myself. And that may be true. But there's going to be a time where you're going to need a spiritual doctor. There's going to be a time where you're going to need to know the answers. Let me tell you, my car isn't broke down all the time, is it? But when it's broke down, where do I go? To the mechanic. Okay? My plumbing isn't always backed up or leaking. But when it is, where do I go? You see? And my health isn't always in bad shape. But when I need some kind of answer to my healing, like what's wrong with me? Like we had an issue here just not too long ago. We had to go to a doctor. And had to get some answers, right? Now, we don't go to the doctors every day, but we go to a doctor when we need an answer. And so I began to realize, you know, we're probably going to see some people come, get the answers, and then come visit again for their healing. And I want to let everyone know out there that are listening, that is great. You know, don't make this in a sit. Now, don't get me wrong. We have pastors and leaders and people who are called to support in that area. But the others that are out there listening, you know, don't be so pressured. When you are sick and you need a healing, you come and you get that healing. But then when you don't need that healing, you're not sick, you know, hey, try to stand out there on your own. Try to apply what was given. You know, implement what was given. And then when you come to a point where you need that healing again, get back in here, because you're gonna need that healing. But wouldn't you like to create a life for yourself? And this is one of the reasons why the kingdom of God needs to be spoken. Life is inside of us. Real life. Not the life that you're living right now. You might think that you're living a life, but you're living deception. You're not living out the fullness. You're living partial. Your life is like a pond that has no running water in it. What happens to that pond after a while? You know, you might dig a nice hole, put a great liner in it so it doesn't leak, fill it up with water, and that water is going to look really nice for a while, isn't it? But what happens when the heat comes out, you know, and the water starts turning and things start growing in it. And then what happens to that pond? What happens to that bunch of water? It gets real nasty, doesn't it? I'm going to tell you right now, that's what's happening with our lives. If you don't have spiritual insight or spiritual awareness or spiritual knowledge. And through time, it gets cloudy and stagnant and mucky and nasty. And you need to get cleaned up. You need some knowledge to clean it up. And it might be as simple as switching some pipes around. Maybe running your filter a little longer. You know, there's a remedy, a solution to clean up that pond. But one of the most important things is you got to keep the water running. You got to keep that water circulating. And I look at spiritual knowledge is to keep that water running, keeping it circulated. If we don't change the way we're thinking and we don't constantly keep that spiritual life flowing, you become stagnant. The life that you live is a life that is stagnant. It's dead. We are living a life of death. And the only way that we can bring life is when we discover it in the kingdom or in our inner self, in the universe. Inside of us is life. And I want us to really begin to start understanding the importance of tapping inside so that we can begin to obtain a life. And without the life, we are heavy laden, depressed, stagnant, ill. You might be okay for a little bit, but you're gonna, if you don't keep on renewing that spiritual life inside of you, you're gonna get sick. It's almost like if you don't eat right, eventually it's gonna catch up to you and you're gonna get sick. How many people understand that one? So when I began to start inquiring about our life and why is it so important to discover and find this life inside of us is to enter a place of a peace and joy and a righteousness that we don't quite understand. We haven't tapped into it. And there are parts or ingredients that takes us out of life, literally. And we know what they are. Some of the ingredients, and I call it the biggest ones, is fear and worry. Fear and worry literally robs and steals and destroys our life. It causes sickness to flow through us, and then it illuminates and begins to spread throughout. The place where we really should be searching is inside and finding the life inside of us and then maintain the ingredients to create the life inside of us, which is joy, peace, and righteousness, okay? They talk about faith, okay? And faith is the beginning of creating a new life. You got to believe that there's actually a life out there for you. You have to actually believe that there is something there for you. How many would agree with that one? I mean, you've been created for something, right? You've been put on this earth for something. I truly believe it's not the whole gist of it. Like, I know now that my life has been altered. And now my life is in ministry. I have to. If not, I keep getting spanked around. I'm put in the bowl of crap. Who likes to be put in the bowl of crap? So as soon as you find yourself in the bowl of crap, then you got to know that you're not really in the will of God. That's just the way it is. You look through scripture and you see how everybody ended up in the bowl of crap. God was smacking them around, telling them something, and they had to just like find out what it was and then get back into the will of God, and then they came right out of the bowl of crap. So to be in the bowl of crap is not a bad thing. It gets us to change the way we're thinking, and then all of a sudden he lifts us out and then everything is good again. And so Like, I look around and I see purpose for people. I see an awesome purpose for the two of you. I see a purpose for you. I see something back there that is just incredible, that hasn't blossomed yet. I can't wait to use the two of you. I already approached you today. And I'm going to tell you what, we're going to see some things change. And it's just a beautiful thing. You know, to come into the will of God, to come into the life that we were created for, is probably the greatest gift that we can actually come to. See, we don't know life. We don't know it. This is the reason why we're called to preach. The pastors here and myself, we're called to bring life into a dying world. Bring life into a dying world. That's what we're called for. We're here to bring, you could say, the kingdom of God on earth. We're here to get the dead raised, to bring life into something that's dead. Even though in the carnal realm, the mortality or the mortal realm, which one is it? The mortal realm, right? Mortality is the spiritual end. I got to get that right. But the mortal realm, we think we're alive, don't we? We think we're alive because we're breathing. Oh, I'm alive. And, you know, we wake up every day and we accomplish things, you know. We have some good days and we have some bad days. And we think that that's life. That is not life. And then we end up doing good things and we go to good places and we bring our righteousness in. I didn't do anything wrong because everything's going well and I got righteousness. That's not righteousness. And then we have our good times and we have our happies and our joys. But that's not happiness and that's not joy. We only know what we know. It's like this. If I told you, and I think I used this as an example before, that my girls and I, we had the pleasures of going somewhere this week. We never experienced this, but nitrogen ice cream. Was that what it was? Okay. Nitrogen ice cream. It's greatest stuff ever. I hope they bring a couple of those down this way. I probably eat there all the time with this. I thought Cold Stones was really cool, you know? This is even better. But if I told you how great this was, and you never tasted it, how would you know that I was right? If you're content with what you're eating now, you're never going to really step out and try it, unless it's like offered to you. But you'll never really search out. You'll never travel out. You'll never really go for it. How many people understand what I'm saying? Okay? And that's kind of like what I'm saying right now. I know a place. I know a life that is for you. But you got to step out and try to find it. You got to step out and look for it. You got to be hungry for it. You got to really want to want it. And that's why I always say, you know, this ministry really isn't for those that aren't sick and tired of being sick and tired. You got to really want a life. You got to be coming to a point of you saying to yourself, I'm dry and I'm thirsty. I need a drink. You know, I really am desperately needing something. Well, then you came to the right place. Early I said that if your car is broke down, you go to a mechanic. When your health isn't in good shape, you go to a doctor. When your plumbing is leaking, you go to a plumber. And you get repaired. Well, this is the spiritual doctor here. You need help. You need a life. You want to find yourself, you lost, then you came to the right place. Religion isn't going to do it. I'm going to tell you right now. You'll feel good when you get there. The ambiance will be nice. You know, you'll see the statues. You'll get the breathtaking. You'll see the uniforms and the candles and all this other stuff. And then when you leave there, you'll feel good about yourself because you actually walk through the doors. But what's going to happen for the rest of the week? If you don't have the mind and it's not renewed, you're never going to find a life. You'll find tradition, you'll feel good about yourself, but you'll never find a life. We have to break the patterns of what we're doing right now. We're living, as Pastor Sam used to say, we're living insanity. Doing the same thing every day. But you can live a life still not altering the change within your life. You can still do the same thing. You can still hang out with the same people. You say hi, still work at the same job, everything else. You don't need like this dramatic alteration. What you need is a spiritual alteration inside. For one, we need to be honest. We have to be honest with ourselves. We have to say to ourselves, I'm in the crap pile. And I got to get out of the crap pile. Who's in the crap pile? Come on, let's be real. If you confess to one another, God's faithful enough to set you free. Anybody read that scripture before? And we have to confess to one another. I'm happy to be transparent. It's not a bad thing to be in a crap pile. The bad thing is to not denying that you're in the crap pile. The bad thing is denying. You see? Because then we live in deception. This is the knowledge that we need to understand so that we can overcome what is trying to destroy and kill our lives. What are we here for? Why are we placed on earth? These are the big questions that you should be asking yourself. What the heck am I doing here? Just to live and swallow in a crap pile? No. You were not born and you were not brought into this earth to just be crapped on, to live in a crap pile. You were brought on this earth to accomplish great and exceedingly abundant beyond what you can comprehend or even imagine things. But this isn't like you inventing light bulbs and creating all these enormous things. Just finding the life that is inside of you is far beyond what you can comprehend or even imagine. You don't even know what's inside. You don't even know what's resonating in there until you find it. I never knew that God would be calling me and bringing things into my life. And every day seems like a new day. And I wonder what's going to happen. What are you going to do today, God? How are you going to manifest yourself through me? And how are these things going to transpire? How am I going to end up finding this joy and this peace that exceeds abundant beyond imagination? How many people understand joy? Now, what gives you happiness? Some people have joy just sitting on the couch watching TV. Some people have joy seeing somebody else prosper and succeed. Joy is inside of you. Only you and the life that has been given to you understands it. Now, how would you like to have that manifest around you and in you all the time? Now, what I'm saying is, if it's a matter of sitting and watching TV, and that's the joy that's inside of you, could you imagine having that all the time? Isn't that wonderful? Listen, that's a little bit of joy inside of me. I got a little bit of that in me. I would love to be able to sit in front of the TV and just kind of like zone out. Leave me alone. I don't want to be bothered. How many have ever felt that way? Just leave me alone. I don't want to be bothered. Okay, well, there's a certain little bit of joy. What I'm saying is there's something in each and every one of us that we haven't tapped into. And the reason why we haven't tapped into it is because we haven't really understood how to fight these battles, how to come into the will of God, how to be able to be well-pleasing in His sight. Each one of us has been created a life. And the only way that we're going to be free, delivered, and set free, salvation, the only way we're going to receive salvation is if we come into this life God has given us. Not all are called to be pastors, not all are called to be preachers, not all. Forget about everything that you know. Just concentrate on life. And what is life? Peace and joy and righteousness. Whatever it is to manifest that in you, whatever your hopes and your dreams and your visions, that brings life inside of you. Whatever you desire, everything that you want, everything that you can imagine is life inside of you, and we need to find life. Now, we also have to understand that there are powers and principalities who don't want you to have a life. How many people understand that one? Okay. Why are these powers and principalities coming after us? Why are they putting us in the crap pile? Why are these things transpiring? I'm going to tell you right now, my children suffer because of lack of knowledge. And if we don't have the knowledge, then we're never going to be able to come out of the crap pile. We got to understand the powers that keep us in the crap pile. Why are these things happening to us and around us? Why? Some people have given up and stopped fighting. Some have become hopeless. Some have come to the point of saying, you know what? I'm done. But they're not done. Because the truth is, when you surrender and you know the truth, that's when things really change. But people come to the point where they're saying, I'm done, I'm giving up, I'm living a life of hopelessness, and then they become self-indulged. It's all about them. And then they start looking at themselves, and what have I done, and what did I do, where am I at? Just try to follow what I'm saying. Because, yes, we need to look at ourselves, but, yes, we don't carry the guilt and the shame. We have to be able to look at and say to ourselves, why am I in the crap pile? And then we have to get the answers and then change the way we're thinking and rejoice. But how are we going to do that without knowledge? How are we going to do that? Because the knowledge of sin is death. We were born in sin. We weren't born with spiritual knowledge. That's why it's important to have ministry like this, to give us that spiritual knowledge, that God can bring the anointed one, the Christ, the one with the knowledge on earth, to give to us, to allow us to be able to receive what is being spoken and change the way we're thinking. And that's why John was saying, repent, repent, for the kingdom of God is at hand. We have to change the way we're thinking because we are born in sin. How many people understand what born in sin is? Good. I'm going to explain what it is to those who might not know. Born in sin is being born without spiritual knowledge. Simple as that. You just didn't know. You didn't know that there's powers and principalities out there destroying. You don't understand legal contracts that are written in heaven. You don't understand the laws that God has laid down for us to follow. You don't understand the righteousness of God. You understand the righteousness of man, but you don't understand the righteousness of God. There is a lot of things that we don't understand. And because of we don't understand, we have rights. Well, we don't have rights. The darkness has rights to destroy us, to come against us, to rob, steal, strip away. Are you mad that your little girl has gold stones? Good. Are you mad that you're wallowing in a little bit of a shit crap pile? Good. Are you mad that you lost several years of your life wandering around, not accomplishing what you could be right now? Good. I want us to start getting angry about things and begin to start taking responsibility and control in areas that we can control. There's a lot of things that we can't control. How many people would agree with that? There are just things that we cannot control. But there are things that we can control. Number one, understand who God is. A lot of people say we know who God is, but they don't know Him. They confess with their lips, but their heart is so far from Him. How many people have heard that? Not me. I would never, when I confess God's and I know who He is, believe me, my heart is there too. Liar. You know what we're lacking? Reverence, holy fear of who He is. He is the Creator. He gives and He takes away.
We're back.
Amen. I love it. Let them come. We'll prevail. We will overcome. This is the heart that we need. Nothing is impossible for God. I've seen incredible things when I went overseas. An eyeball form right before my eyes. Backbones put in people's bodies. A goldstone dissolving is nothing. With all that being said, having the knowledge in the spirit, how many people understand that to succeed in this life, you need knowledge? You want to be, you know, overcome and get, you know, I want to say fame and fortune. You need knowledge, right? You go to college, you get an education, and if you don't understand, you grind the, you know, your face to the millstone, and you learn, right? You learn the industry. You better it. You become. You master it. If you want to live a life in this world. But if you truly want to live a life, if you truly want to live a life, you seek out the spiritual knowledge inside. You seek, you obtain, you try to get as much knowledge as you possibly can so that you can obtain a life. Inside of you is no different than the carnal world. But it's in a spiritual world. You obtain knowledge, you learn, and you succeed. Amen? Same thing with the spirit. You obtain spiritual knowledge, you obtain it, you learn, and you succeed. There is a place and a life that is inside of you that we haven't tapped into. What begins to lead us and guide us, and I'm going to tell you right now, it's not set in stone. Your hopes, and your desires, your passions, they lead us. But don't bank on it. For example, let's say you're like 5-6 years old and you're going to follow your passion, and you begin to follow your passion your whole life. You wanted to be a fireman. So you pursue everything that you need to become a fireman, and you were locked into that passion. And when you became a fireman, you didn't realize, I'm here. This isn't really what I expected. I thought that it was going to be like this thing when I got there. How many people have ever experienced that? You had a passion, you got there, and it's like, this is it? Well, I'm going to tell you right now, you're feeling exactly the way you should be feeling, because that's not where it is. That's not it. They are stepping stones. There is more, deeper. Something was related to being a fireman. Maybe it's the next thing that you're leading towards. It's nonstop. Hope, passion. We have to understand what it is. I have a lot of hope, and I have a lot of passion, and I have a lot of love. I need to define it. I need to understand it. With lack of knowledge, we don't understand it. But with knowledge, we understand it. I know how to get us out of the crap piles. I get in them, but I get out of them too. I'm not going to say that you're not ever going to get in them ever again. I'm going to keep jumping into crap piles. I'm going to fall into them. But I understand knowledge, spiritual knowledge. It's God's way of communicating. It's God's way of telling us to change the way you're thinking. You're going in this direction. I'm building you up, and I need you to go into this direction. You have reached a point in your life now where you have to change. There is change constantly in our lives, and when we don't come to a change, we develop the stagnant pond that we spoke about earlier. And you know what happens? The water's nice and clear for a few couple of weeks, but then what happens? It begins to change. Little things get in the water and starts to grow. That's exactly what happens in your life. All of a sudden, you reach that you arrived. Boom. You didn't. Little things creep in, then they start to grow, and next thing you know, your pond is filthy, dirty, a mess, and then all of a sudden you're crying back out for God. Let's stop the pond from getting mucky and ucky, and let's keep the water flowing. How to get the water flowing? For one, we have to understand who God is. We have to keep that reverence, holiness, fear, that He is the God that gives and the God that takes away. If we can really put that deep in our heart and burn it, you're on the right path of a life. That's number one. Number two, you have to begin to realize that there are critters that are out there to try to gnaw at you and beat you up. There are things out there that are trying to steal, rob, kill, and destroy. That's number two. Number three is we have to understand that our actions cause the legal critters to come kill, steal, and destroy. Did you know that? Our actions cause things to come against us. Yes, we're responsible. And we have to take responsibility. Now, number four, I would say, is we don't put condemnation on ourselves. Okay, there's a contract out on you. Okay, great. Now, how do I get this contract ripped up? You don't wallow in it and feel sorry for yourself. We have to say, okay, God, now you got to show how I can cancel this contract. How do I break it? 99.9 times, you have to refer back to number one. You forgot who God is. You left the holy reverence, fear. Somehow you got complacent and somehow you lost the holiness of who God is. How many people are following me here? It's very, very important to hear what I'm saying, because we'll never be able to find this life. See, the road is narrow, right? That leads to life. Skinny, narrow. But there's the road that is broad that leads to destruction. Guess what road we're all on? The broad one. We're on the broad one because we don't have the knowledge, that we're lacking knowledge. And this is why it's so important to embrace this ministry here. Not religion, but this ministry here. I'm sure there's others out there. I didn't go bother seeking because I don't have to. It's here. It's here. To get out of the pit and break contracts and get things right. And we got to understand and take responsibility and then begin to take the guilt and shame off of us and find out how to get these contracts written, ripped up. And more than likely, if you look at the life of Job, how did his contracts get ripped up? He began to find out that he didn't put the stars in the sky. He found out that he didn't put the ring around Leviathan's nose. So where did that direct him again? Understanding who God was. What about the one who went into the pit and his fingernails got real long and his hair got wheely and all of a sudden, what did he realize? Who God was, right? And then got him out of that place. This is a cycle, and it revolves, and it goes back to number one, and then it goes through again, and it goes back up to number one, then goes through again, and it goes back up to number one. The reverence, fear of God is probably one of the most important things that you can burn on your heart. When things begin to start weighing on my shoulders, I cry out to the Lord, and I say, okay, Lord, where did I lose the reverence, fear of you? Now, I will tell you that there is powers that give darkness. And I'm going to tell you right now, the only two ingredients that I can give you right now is worry and fear. The issues are worry and fear. We got to give it to the Lord. There are parts where, yes, be human. We have to have concerns. I have great concerns with a lot of things, but when it starts to grip my heart, when it starts to trouble me, when it begins to start taking a hold of my life, then I have lessened myself in who God is. Oh, hallelujah. How many people are beginning to understand where I'm coming from? And we have to make sure that when we run into issues and problems, that we do not feed the spiritual darkness that is there to kill, steal, and destroy. I want to keep us to the simplicity of the truth. I can get into it really deep, but if I get too deep and you can't comprehend, what's that doing anybody? But if we can understand fear and worry, and we can understand how it grips our heart to the point where it causes it to trouble, and we come up with imaginations, that's how you begin to start knowing that you have not put God on the throne. When you begin to have your heart gripped, now remember, concerns are okay. But when your heart gets gripped, and then imaginations come in, right there, oh, hallelujah, is when we begin to start repenting. That's when we need to pull down the imagination that exalts itself over the knowledge of God. That's when we got to start putting God back on the throne. That's when we start giving it back to Him and say, Lord, you are the one that can save me, deliver me, and set me free. You want your circumstances to change? You want to find eternal life, a life that is inside of you with peace and joy. You want to understand what joy is. Do you want to understand what happiness is? Do you want to understand what righteousness is? Listen to me. I'm the spiritual doctor. I know the truth. I know the way. I know what we've all been through. I understand. I feel as though that God has done something to my life where everyone who is hearing my voice, I have already lived it. so that I know that there is nothing that you cannot overcome and come out. I know that your breakthrough is there. And not only is it there, but God is sending people to come alongside of you who knows and empower and bring forth His will to be done. And it will. Because there's power in His name. There is power in life. And there is no power in darkness. It's a lie. Darkness does not exist. It has no power in our lives. I've seen too many miracles, too many creative things take place. I witnessed beyond imaginations. I witnessed things that the natural mind cannot understand or fathom how these things would even appear. That's how I know. If they never happened, I couldn't tell you. But they happened. And I do know that we are living a lie. And the truth is buried inside. And I want to resurrect it. I want to resurrect your life. I want to bring you to a place where it's exceedingly beyond what you can imagine, and all your desires and hopes and dreams come to fruition. And I won't stop, because you're the witness. You're the testimony of this message. You're the glory of God. That's who you are. You're the glory of God. When you have a life that has been resurrected, and the ones that are around you become born again, and they enter a life, and they're resurrected, and you are nothing but glory to our Lord and our Savior, our King. God has raised me up for one purpose, to glorify His name. And the only way that I can glorify His name is through your life. There is no other way that I can glorify His name unless He does miracles, signs, and wonders through you. Or it'll just be me and having my own little party. And how is God getting His glory? Through me? One person? No. He don't want me to glorify Him. He wants you to glorify Him. That's where I glorify Him. That's where I glorify Him. When I see the lame walk, the deaf raise, the blind see, and you're confessing and praising His name, because you have just seen. I want us to bow our heads for a moment. We have to stop giving darkness power. We have to stop now. I hope that you are as mad as I am. I hope and pray that you have reached a point where you want to take life and you want to embrace it, because those things around you is part of your life also. And we need to stop giving power to darkness through our ignorance. And we need to give it fully unto the Lord. We need to give these circumstances in His hands. We have to put the glory back on the throne. And I know it is so hard. I know it's so difficult. I know the pain. But He is the God who gives and takes away. And we have to be willing to put these on the altar. We have to be willing to gather the sticks and bring the fuel and light the fire. We have to be willing to lay it on the altar and create a burnt sacrifice. And I know it's difficult. I know the pain. I know how hard it is because we've been living a life of a lie. We feel alone. We feel as though that these things aren't possible. We've been lied to. We've been born in sin. And we're living a lie. We have to come out of the lies. We have to break free from the lie. Father, I ask that you give us power. Put it in our hearts to be able to cast down these imaginations. Give us the knowledge and the strength to discern good and evil. Let us see you and your glory and your power and your honor. Let us see who you are. When I was in Mexico, keep every head bowed for a moment. I was in Mexico and I saw hundreds of people. And they called them up for prayer. And I was tired. I didn't want to deal. But I lift my eyes up. And I called upon him and I said, "Let's go, God. Let's go." And as soon as I said those words in my heart, I saw the glory of God come and just start touching people. Not a hand laid, but they just started getting healed and delivered and set free, falling on the ground, demons coming out of them, people confessing, crying, weeping. All the pain has left their bodies. I said one word, "Okay, God, let's go." I want you to use that as a testimony because God is saying, "Let me walk with you. Let me walk with you." Lift your eyes up and say, "Okay, God, let's go. I need you now at this point." I know right now I see healings. When we were in worship, the spirit of healing came in the room. I heard it. I saw it. And then one of the other pastors came right next to me with a healing cloth in his hand. And he held my hand. And the glory began to fall. I knew it at that time. There's healing in this place now. And there is nothing too big in your life that God can't cancel out. There is nothing too big in your life that God cannot reveal His glory. He's already working things out as we speak. His will shall be done. And I'm making a stand, and I hope you make a stand with me that we are tired of letting darkness be the ruler of this life. The Lord says that the kingdom of God suffers violence, and the violence is taking the kingdom of God by force. Well, not anymore. Who is going to stand with me? The Lord is asking this question, who is willing to stand with me? And if you're saying yes in your heart, He is willing to walk with you. He's willing to walk with you. And let's sit back and watch His glory be revealed. I want to open up the altars. And I want those who feel impelled to come, I'm going to ask you to come. My prayer is to impart a fire. I'm asking the Lord to drop the knowledge, the revelation, the passion, every impartation, every possible thing that He can give us. Hallelujah. And you're going to get it. That is burning inside of us. To unleash it. To set us free. To give us the knowledge to break free. I want to work quick. So I'm going to ask the pastors to come up with me.